नारायण नमस्कृत्या नरोञ्चैवं नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वती व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयत् नष्टप्रायेषु अबाधेषु नित्यं भगवति सेवाय भगवति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैश्चिकी ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्णा गुड मॉर्निंग डिवोटीज प्लीज एक्सेप्ट माय हम्बल ओबेसेंसेस ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्री प्रभुपाद सो वी दिस मॉर्निंग The class is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila, chapter 2, text 21. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna. So, Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila, chapter 2, text 21. Tam imam aham ajam sarira bhajam vidhi hridi tishtitam atma kalpitanam Patidrisham eva nekadakam ekam samadhi katosmi vibhuta beda moha tam iham aham ajam sarira vajam hridi hridi dishtitam atma kalpitanam patidrisham eva nekadakam ekam Samadhigatosmi vidbhuta beda moha Tam imam aham ajam sharira bhajam Ridi ridi tishtitam atma kalpitanam Patidrisham ivane kadakam ikam Samadhigatosmi vidbhuta beda moha Hare Krishna. Okay, so we do word for word. Tam, him, imam, this, aham, I, ajam, the unborn, sharira vajam, of the conditioned souls endowed with bodies, hridi hridi, in each of the hearts, dishtitam, situated. Atma, by themselves, kalpitanam, which are imagined, pratidrisham, for every eye, eva, like, na ekadha, not in one way, akam, the sun, ekam, one, samadhigata, one who has obtained, asmi, I am, Viduta, removed, Veda Moha, whose misconception of duality. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Grandfather Bhishma said, as the one sun appears differently situated to different seers, so also do you, the unborn, appear differently represented as the Paramatma in every living being. But when a seer knows himself to be one of your own servitors, no longer does he maintain such duality. Thus, I am now able to comprehend your eternal forms, knowing well the Paramatma to be only your plenary portion. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text 42, was spoken by Bhishma Dev, the grandfather of the Kurus, when he was lying on a bed of arrows at the last stage of his life. Arjun, Krishna, and numberless friends, admirers, relatives, and sages had gathered on the scene as Maharaj Yudhisthira took moral and religious instructions from the dying Bhishma. Just as the final moment arrived for him, Bhishma spoke this verse while looking at Lord Krishna. Just as the one sun is the object of vision of many different persons, so that one partial representation of Lord Krishna, who lives in the heart of every living entity as a Paramatma, is a variously perceived object. One who comes intimately in touch with Lord Krishna by engaging in his eternal service sees the Super Soul as the localized partial representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhishma knew the Super Soul to be a partial expansion of Lord Krishna, whom he understood to be the supreme, unborn, transcendental form. Oma Ginati Mirandasya, Yana Ginashalakaya, Chakshu Om Militam Yena Tasman Shri Gurive Namaha, Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale, Vayam Rupa Kadama Yam Dadati Swapadantika, Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Vitapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha, Shri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tansajiva, Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Parda Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Sacha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Paramani Hari Priye Vantaka Patrubhyascha Kripa Sunnibhya Eva Chapatitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivachari Gora Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutane Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschatya Deshitarini Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gura Chachay Namaha Ananda Lila Maya Vigrahaya Imabhya Divacha Vishundaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste. Hare Krishna. The translation, English translation of the text again. Grandfather Bhishma said, as the one sun appears differently situated to different seers, so also do you, the unborn, appear differently represented as the Paramatma in every living being. But when a seer knows himself to be one of your own servitors, no longer does he maintain such duality. Thus I am now able to comprehend your eternal forms, knowing well the Paramatma to be only your plenary portion. Hare Krishna. So, this is an important text or expression by Grandfather Bhishma in Kurukshetra when he was lying on a bed of arrows and just a few short breaths away from leaving the body. He made the statement looking at Krishna. As the one sun, just to make it an analogy, as the one sun appears differently situated to different seers, so also do you, Krishna, the unborn, appear differently represented as the Paramatma in every living being. So he was saying that some people perceive the sun in different situations. They perceive it according to how their eyes are telling you. But we already know, we've been told that these senses are limited. And therefore, Bhishma is making a case that the sun could be seen But it could be seen differently for different people. And so the Paramatma is making an analogy, the connecting with the Paramatma. The Paramatma in every living being, some people also perceive differently. But then he said that when the soul, when the Jivatma understands himself as to what his constitutional position is, a seer knows himself to be one of your own servitors, then that duality is flushed out. Krishna helps that particular person who is the servant of a servant of a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to see Krishna as he is and to see his plenary expansions as they are. So the point that Bhishma was making, that it was an important point, so that if anybody that was gathered there or anybody that was going to hear his words later on, as we're doing now, had any kind of misconception about Krishna and Krishna's plenary expansions, Bhishma was putting that to rest, but using himself. He says, now I am thus able to comprehend your eternal forms, that is the expansions, knowing well that the Paramatma is a plenary portion of you. So he defined the Paramatma in this case. That's the situation, and the Paramatma is not to be perceived in any other way. The Paramatma is who he is. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, plenary expansion, period. It is not to be, the Paramatma is not to be perceived in other ways. But it's also present in the heart of every living being, along with the soul, the real person. And the Paramatma is the one that permits things to happen. Without Paramatma, the Jivatma cannot even enjoy or suffer the material energy. It is all from the agency of the Paramatma. The permission is given. Now, what is done with the activity of the Jivatma, that karmically, by karma, they're going to either get good results from it or bad results from it in the next lives, the subsequent lives. But the Paramatma is not to be blamed for how the karma turns out to be. The Paramatma only permits. But the Paramatma also does one more thing. Through the intelligence, the Paramatma would warn the Jivatma. Activities is going to be done by the physical body or the subtle body, depending on the type of body that the person, that Jiva has. That there are consequences, especially if the person is about to do something that is negative. There are consequences.
You can see this is gap, right? Yeah.
Right. Hare Krishna, can you please mute?
Yeah, I did. That was an accident. I just did it.
No problem. So, as we're talking about, the Paramatma will allow, but Paramatma will also warn, especially because Krishna is kind. Paramatma is kind, and he knows that if we do something that's negative, there will be price to pay later on, and definitely doing things negative is not the way to go back to Godhead. The Paramatma is very encouraging when the Jiva turns to him, to turn to Krishna consciousness. Very, very, very encouraging at that point, because then the Jivatma is beginning to understand why they are in the material world and what it is that they have to do in order to get out. So the Paramatma is the Lord from within, and from without, the guide is the spiritual master. The bona fide spiritual master's words are also very, very important. They are all consistent, backed by the Shastra. And so we don't really have any excuses. As devotees, we have everything, more than what we need. Not even everything we need, more than what we need. So much has been done. Krishna has spoken Bhagavad Gita, describing and put in 18 chapters. Srimad Bhagavatam, so many chapters there. I think 334 and 18,000, if I remember correctly, texts. 700 texts in Bhagavad Gita in 18 chapters. So there's so much that's been put out by the Lord, the Lord's expansions, and the devotees, the pure devotees of the Lord in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So Srila Prabhupada says in this verse, it's also from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text 42. It was there when he was lying on a bed of arrows. That's Bhishma, last stage of his life. And Maharaj Yudhishthira was getting moral as well as religious instructions and how to rule. Punadayan Bhishma. And if we have some time, we'll go into some of the things that Bhishma told Maharaj Yudhishthira. It happened to be in the book that my Guru Maharaj wrote, and he took examples from them in the leadership for an age of higher consciousness. So, when the moment arrived for him, Srila Prabhupada is saying, Bhishma spoke this verse while looking at Lord Krishna. He dissipated any doubt about Krishna's identity, any doubt about Krishna's plenary expansion, so that people will not maintain the duality. As soon as you see something in one way, another sees in another way, then the duality sets in. So what is the correct one? Krishna is one. So in that's been said here, it's been the same verses at Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text 42. Now, so the translation for that is pretty much the same, but the words are chosen a little bit differently. So I'll read the translation of Srimad Bhagavatam 1, 9, 42. So we have even another way in which Bhishma was expressing this. So from 1, 9, 42, the translation is, now I can meditate with full concentration upon that one Lord Sri Krishna, now present before me, because I have transcended the misconceptions of duality in regard to his presence in everyone's heart, even in the hearts of the mental speculators. He is in everyone's heart. The sun may be perceived differently, but the sun is one. So, it is the same thing said in another way. The translation in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila chapter 2 text 21 is the same as this, except that in that case, the analogy was made in the beginning. Just as the sun is perceived by different people, different ways, people perceive Paramatma in different ways, but now I can... Now that if you connect, or if anyone connects with Krishna and Krishna consciousness, then they don't have that duality or wrong perceptions or different perceptions. So now here, the translation is, that now I can meditate with full concentration upon that one Lord Krishna, now present before me. Remember, only a few breaths left and I was getting ready to leave the body. Because I have now transcended the misconceptions of duality in regard to his presence in everyone's heart. That is, the presence as a plenary expansion, the Paramatma, in the hearts even of mental speculators. And they are the ones, and Bhishma brings out the mental speculators because they're the ones that perceive different things, and some of them don't perceive what is actually true, what's actually factual. When people speculate, they think it's like this, they think it's like that. But what everybody thinks in different ways, there's one solution, there's one fact. But then people don't know what the fact is, so they perceive one way, they perceive another way. I remember I was, this was a preacher, a Christian preacher. that had written a book and was trying to, you know, advertise the book and the program that he had. And he mentioned a few things about what was going to happen. Of course, he's a Christian preacher, so he would mention about Jesus Christ. But that was not even the main point that caught my attention. He said something about the soul. And he was saying that when a person gets born, the soul also gets born. Born. We know that the soul appears, the soul is unborn, just like Christian is unborn. But that was his conception. There's very little understanding about transcendence in the different religions. And that's why Krishna says, Hava dharma parityaja, mamekam sharanam braja. Abandon all varieties of religion and surrender to me. When we surrender to Krishna, we get a lot of guidance in so many ways. Materially, spiritually, it's there. Life is handled by the Lord when we give our attention in surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So much so that we should even feel vulnerable without His help and without His presence in our life. The more vulnerable we feel, the more surrendered we are. When we try to say, I have this under control, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. It's not like people don't make that kind of statement and think through what they have to do. But what is important for a devotee to understand is that when we're using our mind to even figure out things, trying to go through things, we should still have that little bit of prayer, little short sentence of prayer, according to your will. According to your will, let it happen. To my Guru Maharaj, educating us by saying that if what I'm going to do, this is a prayer, that we should pray that, dear Lord, if what I'm going to do is the best thing, what's coming to me, then let it happen. And if it is not, then change it. And change it is even a milder word. The word he used was sabotage it. Don't let it work. Don't let it work. Now, Krishna always guides us through the Paramatma and through Guru in the right direction. We sometimes think we have things figured out, and sometimes we bump our heads that way. But every time when we are thinking of Supreme Personality of Godhead, while we do our occupational duty or whatever else that we're doing outside of our regular occupational duty, and we're chanting the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, then we're thinking of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which does one thing. Whatever we're doing, it's going to make us think of how we can serve the Krishna, Radha and Krishna, with that, directly or indirectly. That's called dovetailing. Indirectly is dovetailing our activities to the service of Krishna. So, Grandfather Bhishma very much wanted to see Krishna before leaving the body. He had a boon to leave the body whenever he wanted. So he waited. As Radha Maharaj explained, he waited for quite a while after the Kurukshetra battle was over. It wasn't like Krishna came to him right away. No. He came later. But Bhishma waited to see the Lord before leaving. The Lord has come in His holy name, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, incarnated in this Kali Yuga in His name. Therefore, when the time comes, whenever that time is, to leave, for us, we should also have Krishna present in His holy name. We can have pictures, we can have, by the mercy of the devotees, they may arrange things like that to hear, but to chant the holy name of the Lord or to hear the chanting is very important at that time because it puts the mind on Krishna, just like Bhishma was looking at Krishna, and then he dispelled people's wrong ideas about the Paramatma. Now, in the purport of Bhagavatam 1942, Srila Prabhupada said this, Lord Sri Krishna is the one absolute personality of Godhead, but He has expanded Himself into His multi plenary portions and multi-differentiated portions by his inconceivable energy. The conception of duality is due to what? The ignorance of his inconceivable energy. Bhagavad Gita, Lord says that only the foolish take him to be a mere human being. That's one of the misconceptions. And he puts that, he immediately attacks that. The Lord says, those who deride me. In the Bhagavad Gita, it says, fools deride me. That is, they think, deride me, they mock at him, thinking that he's just another human being because he looks like a human being. But they aren't aware that I am the controller of all that be. All that be means material as well as spiritual. Fools deride me. And he also says that he reserves the right not to be known by those who don't believe in him. He reserves the right not to be known. So people who think that Krishna is not God, they will never be able to connect with the wonderful internal happiness that comes from knowing who Krishna is. He reserves that right, and he also says only the foolish take him to be a mere human being. So that's a misconception. So by his inconceivable energy, Srila Prabhupada is putting the word straight. He's present in everyone's heart as the sun is present before everyone all over the world. Now, the Paramatma feature of the Lord is an expansion of his plenary portions. So, he expands himself as Paramatma in everyone's heart, and he also expands himself as the glowing effulgence of Paramajyoti by the expansion of his personal glow. The Papa is still talking. So, then he makes the point here that in the Brahma Samhita, it's stated that the Brahmajyoti is his personal glow. Well, Brahma talks about that. Therefore, there is no difference between him and his personal glow, the Brahmajyoti, or his plenary portions as Paramatma. Less intelligent persons, this is one of the dualities and misconceptions, less intelligent persons who are not aware of this fact consider the Brahmajyoti and Paramatma to be different from Krishna. But Krishna is absolute. So everything about him is him. The Brahmajyoti is Krishna. The Paramatma is Krishna. Those are expansions of Krishna. So, then Srila Prabhupada said, this misconception of duality is completely removed from the mind of Bhishma Dev, and he's not satisfied that it is Lord Krishna only who is all in all in everything. This enlightenment is attained by the great Mahatmas or devotees, as is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. The Vasudev is all in all in everything, and that there is no existence of anything without Vasudev. Vasudev or Lord Krishna is the original Supreme Person, and now this is confirmed by Bhishma Dev. And Bhishma Dev is one of the 12 Mahajans, the great authorities. So both neophytes and pure devotees must try to follow in his footsteps. That's the way of devotional line. So what we learn from this is Krishna is a samambhunam, the sum total of all that be. His expansions are him. The Brahmajyoti is him. The Paramatma is him. The form may be different, but that is the original, from the original Supreme Person. So that's what we have to understand. And some people just merge, they want to, as the Mayavadis, they want to merge into the existence of the effulgent rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Paramatma. And they think that's all in all. And that's one misconception. Some people meditate and they want to see the Lord in the heart, Paramatma, and they end there. That's also a misconception, because Krishna is the summum bonum, the total of all the plenary expansions. Therefore, devotees who are involved in Bhakti Yoga, they have it right. They have it right. And Bhishma got it right also. Even though he defined the Paramatma, he said he is, the Paramatma is the plenary expansion of the one Sri Krishna standing in front of him at the time he was getting ready to leave the body. Some people also have the misconception that Lord Sri Krishna driving Arjuna's chariot as Parthasarathi is different from the Krishna in Vrindavan with the gopis. Even that's there. That misconception is there. That's also wrong. The same Krishna that was in the battle of Kurukshetra dressed differently from the way he dresses it in Vrindavan with the gopis. But that is the same Krishna. So that misconception is also there. So sometimes this mistake is made by some scholars, literally. So Sri Prabhupada calls them less intelligent. Less intelligent scholars. And they make people think that, oh, well, there was a different Krishna that was here and a different Krishna that was there, a different Krishna. Depending on Krishna's pastimes, now they're thinking it's a different Krishna. It's the same Krishna. So we're saying this because as for us devotees, we don't have that issue. If you've listened to Sri Prabhupada, you know Krishna is one. In Krishna's expansions, Lord Vishnu is an expansion from Krishna. All the Vishnus are expansions from Krishna. Vasudev, Anirudh, Sankarshan, Pradumya, we call it Chaturvyuha. Four expansions. They're all expansions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And from Sankarshan, that's Balaram connecting, we know that the universes are supported on his hood. So you can imagine how big the Lord is in that particular expansion. It is also the reason why Lord Shiva, you see that there is a snake around Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is always meditating on that particular form that supports Lord Vishnu, makes a nice fine bed, soft bed for Lord Vishnu to rest on. Like that. And they are all expansions from the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there can be one situation here, he's like this, and people are literally making two Krishnas, one in Kurukshetra, one in Gopis, and who knows, whatever, that they would think another Krishna, depending on the pastimes. We shouldn't confuse the pastimes. So we may take these things for granted because of the way Srila Prabhupada has taught us. But sometimes we need to have that understanding because when we are out there, sometimes preaching, we may meet somebody that would, you know, say something of that nature, that the Lord in Kurukshetra is different from the Lord in Vrindavan. They are the same. I have been in a situation even here in Harrisburg, where we are now, that somebody after a lecture came up to me, it was an Indian body, and said, so Krishna is the original and the expansions, including Vishnu, came from Krishna according to what you're saying. And I said, yes. He said, but he was educated to think that Vishnu came before Krishna. So there are people with those misconceptions. Sometimes, that's why we're stressing it. Sometimes you might think, well, we have been taught that Krishna is a sum total. All Vishnu expansions are from Krishna. Yes. But not everybody thinks that way. We have been told by Srila Prabhupada it is that way. But we will be in situations sometimes we will have to make that correction. So we have to understand that. And Bhishma, before he died, he made that distinction. That some people are thinking differently. But it is one Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when it comes to Paramatma, he is in fact a plenary expansion of Krishna. So everybody worships Krishna with one pointed attention, knowing him to be the origin of all features. Okay. So we put that to rest without any kind of confusion. So the next few minutes, you're saying that if we had time, that we'll talk about some of the things that Bhishma instructed Maharaj Yudhishthira. You say he was lying on a bed of arrows, and Krishna gave him the last service to do, that Yudhishthira was going to be the next king, therefore some things need to be known by the king. Had things gone a little differently, of course Krishna's plan is always Krishna's plan, but had things gone a little differently, Bhishma himself was a crown prince, and he would have been a wonderful leader. He still was a leader in a different way. He still served Krishna, and people did in fact depend on him. And now he's getting ready to leave a body, and he gives some instructions to Maharaj Yudhishthira. There's a long set of instructions, but we have a section of it here. So Yudhishthira was going to be king, and he was making a point. He, Bhishma, was making a point to Yudhishthira that the king should not be too mild. There is danger in being too mild. If he is too mild, he will be disregarded. The people won't have enough respect for him or his words. He also must avoid the other extreme of being too fierce. Because if he's too fierce, then people will fear him. And that won't create a happy state of affairs either. So there has to be a balance between mildness and being fierce. So a king, anyway, the other properties of a king should be about, will come up, so I won't spend too much time trying to do it, but there should be a balance though between mildness. When things call for being very, very firm, and Srila Prabhupada was like that. When he had to be firm, he was firm. And if you hear on video some of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, when he talked about the sweet part of him, when he was mild, it was wonderful. And they really, really gave their hearts to him. But he also knew when he put his foot down and be serious. And they knew that. So both were there. Bhishma Dev also says, a king should be alert. Alert in what sense? He must study his foes and friends, enemies and friends, incessantly. Why? Well, foes, you have to be foes, F-O-E-S, or enemies. You have to be careful of them because they would like to attack or sometimes sabotage. You have to be careful of them. Friends may also sometimes fall into Maya. And through some gossip, some friends may have their minds changed by others. And so your friend is there. Yes, the trust should be there, but the alertness should also be there. And that's the point he's making. The alertness should also be there. It's not like, oh, I'm watching you, and one day if you say something negative or something that surprises me, then you're not a friend anymore. It's not like that. But we have to be careful about the words that come even from friends. Just because it's a friend does not mean that everything they tell you is going to be correct. So, Bhishma Dev says, as a king, you should study foes and friends incessantly. As a matter of fact, kings had in that time spies, but spies for good reason. Spies that would go into, they're just regular people, they would go into the, population, talk with the citizens, bring up certain things about the king and hear some comments, and based on what the people say in just talking among themselves about the king, that spy will go back to the king and report they're saying this and they're saying the king will be very alert for any negativity that they hear and make adjustments. So they're not listening so that they can, in Kali Yuga, when somebody hears that some king or some president or prime minister hears somebody is saying something bad about them, then it's like a dictator. They just, in some countries, they will have you arrested. Sometimes your family won't even see you anymore just because you said one thing that's negative. But for good kings, they had spies to go find out if there's anything that the population, the citizens are unhappy about, then they will tell the king and the king will make an adjustment accordingly. so that things or explanations or things are clear in the mind of the citizens. So Bhishma Deva also says, a king's duty is to his people. He should take care of them with no thoughts of pleasing himself. He should be subordinate to his own wishes and desires. And then subordinate that, put his own desires and wishes in the back burner, and then be careful to please or to make sure that the desires of the people, according to law, are done. They come as a priority. So a king's duty is to his people. So he should take care of them first, not pleasing themselves. Kali Yuga is quite different, as you well know. A king should also, we'll say a couple more then we stop. A king should guard the citizens like a mother guards a child. A leader should know his or her constituents, the people, as much or even better than a mother knows her children. So, this is very, very, very important that the heart of the king should be with the people. And to a protection from them, for them, it's very important that should come from the king. They should feel protected. And the final point I'm going to bring up is about giving of tasks. Bhishma says, nothing, not even the smallest act, can be accomplished by a single man. He has to have assistance. So sometimes when we put a lot of things, practically everything that has to be done on ourselves, and then we try to do it, and then we just strain ourselves, and then finally people say, oh, well, you know, maybe if you had assistance, it would have been easier, or even sometimes people don't appreciate. But you try to do everything. So delegation is important. You have to delegate activities and delegate it first and foremost according to the propensity of that person. So you give things based on the propensity of that person can do that particular assignment or that job well, you hand to that person. Sometimes there have been situations where people have been given what they don't know anything about, and they say, do this particular service, and the person gets frustrated. They can learn, but it's better for the king or the leader or the president, in this case, the leader, to delegate according to the person's, the people's individual propensities. Then things will work quite well. There also is obviously training. So you have some people have some training so that they can fill in positions that they didn't know about after the training. So these are some of the things that Bhishma told Maharaj Yudhisthira. So we'll stop here. We can go on and on and on about that, but we'll stop here. So here's the text again from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, text 21 of chapter 2. Grandfather Bhishma said, as the one son appears differently situated to different seers, so also do you, the unborn, appear differently represented as Paramatma in every living being. But when a seer knows himself to be one of your own servitors, no longer does he maintain such duality. Thus, I am now able to comprehend your eternal forms, knowing well the Paramatma to be only a plenary portion of you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you so much for such a nice class. And interestingly, in Krishna's arrangement, that this verse was spoken, I think, a few months ago in the Bhagavatam class that we covered, when Bhishma Dev was on the bed of arrows and leaving his body. So it's a nice repetition and a reminder, because I'm sure, at least for me, I can speak for myself, that this was a good reminder that, hey, we covered this a few weeks ago, so it's nice to hear it again. And yeah, thank you for, you know, shedding so much more light on this verse. Would like to ask devotees, if you have any questions, any comments, please to ask. Yes, Mother Gita.
Hare Krishna, please accept my It's a good thing to keep reminding ourselves with these beautiful verses, because we have tendency to forget, at least I do. So whenever I hear about Bhishma Dev, one point really hits at me again and again. I had heard a long time ago, the devotee was saying that just seeing this pastime of Bhishma Dev lying on bed of arrows in so much pain, but the point is that Krishna's pure devotees, they are fully Krishna conscious even if they are in so much pain. I mean, we cannot even imagine if one arrow hits us, you know, we would be like, okay, let's go to ER and, you know, I need to take some rest for a few days till the wound is healed, etc., etc. But here, Bhishma Dev, Krishna wanted to show us that my pure devotees, it doesn't matter in what condition they are ready to preach and they are fully Krishna conscious. Thank you.
Wonderful realization, wonderful addition to this. Yes, that's why when we are faced with some difficulties in the service, we shouldn't give up and say, oh, this is just too much, but we should find a way to get the service accomplished. It's very, very important. Difficulties would come. Now, this is our own small way. This particular difficulty that Bhishma Dev faced in the battlefield with arrows coming at him, in the situation that the arrows were being fired by Arjuna, of all people, who very much loved Bhishma, and Bhishma loved him a lot. But what they had to do, because this was war, and they were on opposite sides. Still, Bhishma praised Arjuna. And then he took this so much pain, and then he also instructed Maharaj Yudhishthira before he left the body. How important it is that service comes first. What Krishna wants us to do, we should do. And that comes from instructions of Guru. We take that seriously. And then from the Shastra, we take what Krishna is saying seriously, and Krishna's devotees are saying seriously. Then we have opportunity to be successful in the royal path of devotion. Hare Krishna. Thank you for the comment.
Thank you. And interestingly, whenever we hear about Bhishma Dev, you know, we meditate on his life of sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he did, anything he did was not for him, but was for the people of Hastinapur, for, you know, for the citizens, and like nothing was for him. And it makes me think, you know, how much of that character or personality,
selflessness.
Say again.
Selflessness.
Yes, you know, we need to develop, you know, and of course we cannot copycat, you know, copy paste whatever. We can't imitate Bhishma Dev, you know, definitely not. But at least to learn a lesson of at least a little bit of how can we be selfless and, you know, give. And like he said in the verse, right, when one knows himself to be one of your servitors, then this one doesn't maintain a duality. And how can you just give everything to the Lord and to his devotees and not even, you know, be holding back? So that was one thought that came to my mind whenever we hear about Bhishma Dev. He was so selfless.
Mm-hmm.
And gave everything. I mean, nothing was for his benefit.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, he had the boon to leave his body at any time, and he did not until Hastinapur was secure.
Yes.
That was a nice, you know, like, he just hung him there till the end, until everything was secured, you know. That was one thing. But one thing that I wanted to ask, if you could shed some light on, like, that in the third line of the purport, where Srila Prabhupada says, Maharaj Yudhisthira took moral and religious instructions from the dying Bhishma.
Mm-hmm.
When you were reading that, I was thinking how difficult it is in today's time for us to receive a simple instruction, because we think that we know it all and we got everything figured out. But Maharaj Yudhisthira, you know, took those instructions from the dying Bhishma. So how can we develop that mood of receiving instructions without, saying but if buts and ends, and I know this, I know that, you know, like how can we develop that mood of receiving instructions?
It comes from our humility. It comes from humility and muzzling the false ego, keeping the false ego in check. We have to understand that Krishna speaks through practically every devotee. Krishna speaks through Guru to every devotee. And so what is coming from a devotee, whether that person is senior, junior, peer to us, if it is from Krishna consciousness, part of Krishna consciousness, it is our duty to hear. Because Krishna speaks, everybody, then in the realization which you have, everybody has the Guru within, the Paramatma. And through the intelligence of Paramatma feeds us what is good for us. So if a person is speaking consistent with the instructions of Krishna, instructions of Guru, instructions from Sadhu, if he's speaking in that way, then it doesn't matter what position or how long they've been in the movement. It is our responsibility to hear and have a discussion if need be with that particular person. We should not feel that I'm senior, therefore I know it all. As soon as you know it all, that's already wrong, because nobody can ever know it all about Krishna. We can have basic understanding about Krishna, but we can never know it all about Krishna, because, and this is what helps sometimes our minds can kind of put things in perspective for ourselves, Krishna is unlimited. Krishna is unlimited. You cannot know all about someone that's unlimited. It's not possible. It is not possible. Therefore, there's always something that will happen in a different way, in a different time, that somebody may know about. And so if we open up with that understanding that I don't know it all, therefore I'm ready to hear from others, then that is the proper mindset that we have to have. And with that kind of mindset, and it's also connected with humility, we will in fact get to know a lot by hearing. Hare Krishna.
So the answer is false ego. You just answered, you just gave a very nice, because false ego blocks humility.
Yes. Yes. And so we have to be careful. False ego is a whole lecture in itself, but we should be careful. Not to exercise false ego. Another time we can talk about that.
Very nice question from Dear Krishna. Hare Krishna, how to make sure that we are hearing and listening from the right source?
The first thing is, Srila Prabhupada has answered that question by the work that he did here. If you listen to Srila Prabhupada's instructions, Srila Prabhupada's advice, Srila Prabhupada's way of expressing things, and listen to those who are connected with Srila Prabhupada, who quote him and also give examples connected with what Srila Prabhupada says, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong. The right source is the source that's connected with Krishna, the pure devotee of Krishna. And so, since we don't know and can in fact be swayed by others who claim to know, that our best bet is to connect with instructions and teachings of Srila Prabhupada. Then we can't go wrong. Srila Prabhupada also, the reason we should listen to him is also he's given the mercy that those of us calling ourselves devotees who don't even chant 64 rounds have an opportunity to go back to the spiritual world because of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, making it possible for us to chant 16 rounds minimum of japa and still have an opportunity to go back. So for a devotee, once we connect with those who are connected with Srila Prabhupada, servants of Srila Prabhupada, or connect with Srila Prabhupada himself through his teachings, then we are listening from the right source. It is the safest thing to do, literally. Hare Krishna. The other point I want to add to it is, Srila Prabhupada doesn't speak only for himself. He quotes other bona fide Pampara speakers too, Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti, Srila Swami, even sometimes for more of the goodness things, he might talk about Chanakya Pandit, even that he quotes from. So, there is so much that he did to cover the basis for us, so that we don't have to actually get away from his teachings, but stay with that, and then that makes sure that we are hearing, you know, from the right source, because he is the right source, for sure. Hare Krishna.
If I can piggyback on Dear Krishna's sure. question, as I want to ask another question to his question, is that that one may say, yes, I do hear Prabhupada's lectures, yes, I do hear this lecture, yes, I do go to the same disciples, and I'm giving instructions. But at the same time, we've also heard how it's so important to practice by example. You know, example is better than precept. So how can we I don't want to use the word distinguish or differentiate, but sometimes we come across, you know, receiving instructions from those who are not walking the talk. So how do we distinguish, or how do we know that's the right or not right thing to do?
The instructions that come from somebody who is challenged a little bit, after all, many of us are not pure of their condition, and so they may know the right thing, they're not doing it yet. If the right thing is in fact supported by Guru, supported by Shastra, then it's the person's own level of growth. That is the problem. It doesn't mean that what they're saying is wrong. If somebody's repeating what Srila Prabhupada said, but they're not living it, you still will benefit from what has been said. You still will benefit from it. But rather than the mind saying, yeah, but I heard it and I know Srila Prabhupada said it before, but you don't do it, therefore we shouldn't hear from you. But the statement itself is a correct statement if it's coming from Srila Prabhupada. It's a correct statement. So we should still live by it anyway. And pray, two things. Pray for that person rather than criticize. Pray for that person to also live by the same instructions. That's one. That is, you are throwing positive energy on that person. You are helping the person. Second, be the example of the good thing. Be the example yourself. But as far as the instructions, they are there. And people take it, as far as practicing it, we're all practicing at different levels. And so sometimes, yes, that situation will come up where somebody is saying the right thing, even though they don't quite, you know, in practice, live according to that instruction. The best thing, obviously, is we have to walk our talk. If you're saying it, you should be doing it. We're saying it should be, but that was not the question. The question was about, you know, when somebody is not doing, but they're saying that it should be. It's like, do as I say, but not as I do. It's not really good. But still, the fact is, the Buddhists are in different stage of development, and the conditioning is there, the lower nature is there. But that does not mean that what is said, if it's true, cannot be used. Pray for them to improve their own devotion, and also be a good example. Hare Krishna.
If I can add one more question to that, is it possible that someone is a very good devotee, but his instructions may not work for a particular person or for everybody? Like, he's good, great devotee, very good, but the instructions that he gives, you know, is not... May not be good for all, you know, like time, place, circumstance, you know, like, so how do we deal with situations like that?
The instructions they give may not be good for all. I find it a little difficult.
May not be right at that time, you know, like.
Yeah, that can happen. That can happen, and we have our own intelligence too. So just because, and based on what you've said, the instruction or what has come from that person may not be usable at that particular time. But if it's usable at a certain later on, what we should do is thank the person for saying that instruction, because it is good instruction. It's just not applicable just yet. Now remember, if you go too far into this and say, all right, it's good instruction, but it's not useful now, is useful now, not useful now, then you might hurt that person's feelings. We have to be very careful that we don't offend others. So thank them for giving that, you know, that particular instruction. You know, you don't have to use it if it's that, you don't have to use it at that time if it's not the best thing to do at that particular time. But the instruction can always be used at another time, or it can be shared with someone else too. So its value is still there. Hare Krishna. Mother Gita, it looks like
you want to... Yes, I was just thinking, you know, sometimes I have heard that if, you know, there is someone who is new to Krishna consciousness and had lost a relative, mother or somebody, and the devotee, you know, says, it's your past karma. You know, so that is the wrong thing to say at the wrong time. So I was just thinking of that example.
Yeah, that's, I'm glad, Mother D, that you brought it up. Yeah, we have to be very sensitive to that. Devotees can understand, you know, the bottom line of material world and how things happen, so that everybody that's here in this particular lifetime is here for a certain period of time based on the number of breaths that they take, and the life will end. And since death brings, you know, moroseness, and people are quite in sorrow that they've lost the particular person, we have to be very sensitive. Even to other devotees, we shouldn't say that it's the karma. Even to other devotees. Even though the person may understand it, but the hurt feelings are definitely there. The hurt feelings are there. That the, you know, death is not, is never received in a wonderful way. Unless somebody is totally transcended, like Srivas Thakur, whose son died, and he was still in the middle of a kirtan, and he was still having it, even though his, you know, his son had died. He didn't want that to stop. High-level devotees understand these things, but we have to be sensitive. That since we don't know the caliber of a person we're speaking to, how they'll take these kind of things, then it becomes important not to share that type of information that is karma related. It's time, place, and circumstance. We have to be sensitive to the issue, sensitive to the situation, sensitive to the person's feelings, and therefore some things, you know, hold off. So truth is truth, but the timing when you say truth is even more important. Karmically, yes, it's a karma. It may well be the karma, but is that the time to say it, though? The answer is no. The answer is no, because you will hurt the person's feelings. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Matadi, for bringing it up.
Thank you for that. Thank you so much for clarifying these points. Are there any other last-minute questions from devotees? Any thoughts? Any clarification on this?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.